Okay, let's redeem the time. We'll utilize the privacy of our priesthood. Rebound during silent prayer if necessary. Then I'll begin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. We thank you for the opportunity to be here to fellowship in your word. We pray that you will help us to concentrate, to hear it with an open mind, to assimilate all that is there. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have a night of real strong concentration, so before we begin, I thought I would interject a bit of levity, kind of relax everyone before we get into this really academic study. Craig Lester gave me this from the Reader's Digest, and I thought it was cute, so I'll pass it along to you. I guess I need my glasses for this, too. I've been staying up nearly every night till around 1 o'clock. Studying books this thick, and that does a number on your eyes, especially when the donkeys start braying at 6 o'clock in the morning. Squirrels had overrun 3 churches in town. After much prayer, the elders of the first church determined that the animals were predestined to be there. Who were they to interfere with God's will? Soon, the squirrels multiplied. The elders of the second church, deciding they could not harm any of God's creatures, humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free outside of town. 3 days later, the squirrels were back. It was only the third church that succeeded in keeping the pests away. The elders baptized the squirrels and registered them as members of the church. Now they only see them on Christmas and Easter. If you will, take your Bibles and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed actually should be praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's as far as we've gotten so far. We noted that the comfort, you notice that comfort is many times mentioned in these few verses, but in verse 4, the third time that it is mentioned, the third comfort refers to Bible doctrine in the soul. Bible doctrine in the soul. Does everyone have page 3 of our printed notes? Anyone not have page 3? Danny? Does anybody need page 1 or 2? Okay. Pardon? I think you're on the wrong study. Here you go, Danny. A few of them need page 1 and 2. Or Maybe some of them don't have one and two on the back. Okay, at the top of the page, on page 3, we're looking at the word comfort. We've already gone over this, but we'll review it quickly as we proceed. The comfort in verse 4 refers to people, and the fact that people do not need to lean on you, they need to learn to lean on the Lord. God wants all of us to be spiritually self-sustaining. That means take care of your own problems through the spiritual dynamics that God has provided for each and every one of us. And every one of us, through the grace system of perception and the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, can learn the whole realm of doctrine and be spiritually self-sustaining. We don't have to run to other people when we have problems. We don't have to lean on them. We lean on the Lord and His Word. That is the way that God designed it. That's where true happiness is. So God wants us all to be spiritually self-sustaining, and that takes, you guessed it, Bible doctrine. We must realize that we cannot make someone happy when they are suffering if they have no doctrine in their soul. That's an important point to remember. You can maybe alleviate their suffering in a temporary fashion by giving them money, by interceding in some way, shape, or form to help with the problem. But the only true solution is for them to have doctrine circulating in their stream of consciousness. Remember that, because that is the real solution. The others are just props and crutches to get someone along. What they really need is the solution, which is divine thinking, the Word of God. We can't give them our happiness, but we can give them doctrine, the source of our happiness. What do you do if they don't want it? Can you force it? Can you force feed it? Can you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? And you can tell an unbeliever or a carnal believer about Jesus Christ's plan, God's plan for them, the 7 imputations. You can explain to them the purpose of suffering, a number of things you can do for them. If they're not interested, then just leave it in God's hands. Nothing you can do except pray for them. You do want to pray for them. Loving someone and being there for them or for him is not enough. They need doctrine. Surely there is comfort when you know that someone is there to recognize what you're going through. But that's very little comfort as opposed to the true solution, which is doctrine to handle the problem. 7, we ourselves are comforted. That's parakaleo. We've already looked at that. That's the present passive indicative, meaning we ourselves keep on receiving comfort. Where do we receive that comfort? Well, if you were the town drunk, you would receive that comfort out of the bottle. The only problem is that the bottle would destroy you. It would destroy your body. It would financially ruin you. Your reputation, everything is gone. But the real comfort doesn't cost a penny. And rather than destroy you, it will make you a winner. It will make you victorious. And of course, we know that solution is doctrine. So we ourselves keep on receiving comfort. Keep receiving comfort as long as we keep on receiving doctrine. Very important point. You can't coast. You might utilize doctrine in some situations, but if you are not consistently recharging your spiritual battery, count on it. The problems will chew you up and spit you out. Your only hope of getting on top of your circumstances is to continue to get doctrine into your soul. Every day, that's how often you need it. Point 8, there are 4 types of suffering. First type is self-induced, which is unbearable suffering, making ourselves miserable through bad decisions. We all do it. We all make bad decisions. And if we do it long enough, then the suffering gets to be unbearable. Usually when there is a long string of bad decisions. We are already suffering from those bad decisions. But in order to get us back on the right path, God will add divine discipline to that. And you notice that is deserved suffering. Divine discipline. Punitive. And God punishes for the purpose of blessing. God doesn't punish like many parents do when they get angry and take it out on their children. He's very objective. He does it to get you back on course, because if you aren't back on course, you're going to continue to drift further and further away from Him. And the farther you get away from God and His Word, the more trouble you are in, and the more pressure and the more unbearable the troubles and problems seem to be. So He does. It's like a doctor who sometimes has to inflict pain in order to get things straight. A bone that is broken before it will be straight many times has to be set, and it might involve pain. And that's what God does in divine discipline to get us straight. But it's for our blessing. The next kind is post-rebound suffering. Notice that is bearable. After you have confessed your sins to God alone, you named your sins, and if the suffering continues, it will be bearable, and God gives it for the purpose of blessing. He can advance you more in times of disaster and despair than He can at any other time. That's when you're closest to the Lord. That's when you learn more than any other time. And He allows that to happen for your benefit. On the other side of that problem, you have more confidence in Him. You have more courage towards man. And that is a fantastic thing to have. You don't acquire those things by avoiding trouble and pressure. Now, we don't have to go looking for it. It finds us, doesn't it? None of us have to say, well, I think I need to be advanced a little more rapidly over the next week or two. I think I'll go out and find some trouble so that I can suffer, so that I can be advanced. And that's foolish. God is the one in charge. He knows perfectly well when we need that adversity, that testing, when we're ready for it. He has the solution, and He's ready to advance us. And the last type of suffering is undeserved, when we haven't done anything to bring on any punitive action, haven't needed to rebound. This is when God recognizes that a believer has enough doctrine in his soul to be tested. It's undeserved. You don't deserve it, but God gives that for the purpose of blessing. And I've already described that the same type of blessing that occurs after a person rebounds and cursing is turned to blessing, and all of those things then are put into gear. Point number nine. All suffering, minus self-induced suffering, which is what we do to ourselves, is designed for our blessing, no matter what the cause. No matter what the cause. Some of the greatest blessings we will ever receive are ones during times of suffering. I imagine if you thought about it, and you thought, now let's see, when was I closest to God? When did I have more confidence in Him than any other time? When was He more real to me? And I could see, feel, nearly touch His hand on everything that was happening. When was life the richest for me? Seldom do people say it's when they're on top of the wave, when all is going well in times of prosperity. It's usually when they are in the pit, when it looks like a hopeless and bleak situation. God knows this, and that's why He allows these adversities and pressures and trials to come upon us. It really puts us in touch with reality. But there are other reasons, as we will see. We're studying, by the way, seven reasons in chapter 1 why people suffer, why believers suffer. Now, all that was by way of review, so we continue with verse 5 tonight. Let's read it first from the English. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Point number one. The words "just as" set up a comparison between the Lord's suffering and ours. That's what this verse is doing. It's comparing the Lord's suffering and ours. Two, the sufferings of Christ. We can experience some of the sufferings that Christ did. Notice again in verse 4, who comforts our afflictions, verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. Now, we do not have Christ's sufferings in abundance, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to point out to you that we can experience some of the sufferings that Christ experienced, but certainly not by any stretch of the imagination anywhere close to what he suffered. For instance, I don't think any of you have ever been tested by having the entire world and all the nations offered to you to be their ruler and king, have you? As a legitimate offer? Christ suffered that. I doubt that many of us have fasted for 40 days and then come to us and say, well, look, you have the power, turn these stones into bread. You weren't tested in that way, were you? Please, nobody say yes and then we have something else on our plate to deal with. Of course we haven't. But the most extreme suffering is that period of time, the last 3 hours when Christ was on the cross on Golgotha. God darkened the, as far as I know, the earth. It leaves the area to where it was a supernatural darkness. And that's when Jesus Christ died spiritually for us. He was separated from God. And all of our sins were imputed upon Him. And that's when He started screaming out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That is the... We will never know. There is no human who ever can come close to understanding or relating to that type of suffering. But we do suffer in some ways the way that Christ does. Every time that you stand firm for the Word of God, and you have people that start to shun you. You have maybe even family members that start to put distance between you and themselves. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's as small as going to the grocery store and they give you $10 too much change and you're tempted to walk on off and say, well, they charge too much anyway. It's about time that something goes my way. That's a small test. And in those ways, we know a little bit about how Christ suffered. So this verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, we don't have them in abundance. We know just a small taste of what Christ suffered. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That's part of the package. You are in Christ. You're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are living in the devil's world. Most people that you come in contact with are unbelievers. They are God haters and they despise grace. They despise the laws of divine establishment, most of them. And so we are aliens. We are strangers in this land. And we are called on to suffer. If you're not suffering for Christ, then you better do some introspection in your own life. If you are the life of the party everywhere you go, it probably means that you are going along to get along. You know what that means? It means you compromise the Word of God in order to be popular, in order to have a scintillating social life. Or in order to make sure that you don't alienate someone. It's more important to you to be close to people than to be close to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. What is that talking about? It's talking about undeserved suffering. When you do things that are right and you suffer, then, according to this verse, you are blessed. It brings to mind about 2 years ago, somewhere along that date. Remember I brought to your notice that there was a church, a black church, I believe it was it up north.
Alabama.
Where is it? In North Alabama. Atlanta or wherever it was. And they had about 24 of the children taken away from them because they were spanking their children using corporal punishment. And some liberal got wind of that, called the CPS, Child Protective Service, out, and actually kidnapped these kids. At least that's what I would call it. And they told the parents, any of you parents can have these children back. All you have to do is promise us that you won't spank them anymore. And they said, no. We will obey God and let Him sort out the rest. And then they quoted scriptures from in the Bible of Proverbs, several scriptures there. And what happened to those believers? They were suffering. Their children were suffering. And it was undeserved. But according to this verse, they were blessed. And God takes note of every believer that makes decisions based on the Word of God. Not stubborn, not trying to make a point or stand out, but simply doing what a person recognizes is right and pleasing in God's eyes. And when you do that, then this verse says that even when you suffer, you are blessed. Now, point number three will explain what I'm talking about with regards to the fact that the point I made that we do not suffer like Christ suffers in abundance. We don't share His sufferings in abundance. Point number three, the word abundance. Underline it in your Bible so you won't get it confused. It's parisseo. P-E-R-I-S-S-E-U-O. It's a verb. It's in the present active imperative. Present active indicative. That means the action is ongoing. We produce the action and it's a mood of reality, indicative. It means to overflow. It means the sufferings of Christ do not abound in us, but they do overflow to us. By the way, it's Christ that produces the action, not us. Christ produces this action. The sufferings of Christ, again, do not abound in us. We can't suffer the way that Christ did, but Christ's sufferings overflow to us. So the corrected translation for this portion of the verse is, for just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us. And we're going to see that that's how that plays out in the understanding of this verse. Without understanding this, you don't understand this verse. Okay. Point number four. All of Christ's sufferings were undeserved and were for blessing. That's what you have to recognize, and that's another important point. Christ suffered more than any person ever suffered, and all of His sufferings were undeserved. Of course, He was impeccable without sin. And that meant that all of His sufferings were undeserved. And what does undeserved suffering do? It is for your benefit. It is for your blessing. Suffering, undeserved suffering, isn't because you have bad luck. Not because God doesn't like you anymore. God is trying to bless you. And if you have divine viewpoint, you recognize that and you grow spiritually through it. So all of Christ's sufferings were undeserved and were for blessing. Here is the point. The same blessings that Jesus had overflow to us. The blessings from undeserved suffering overflow to us. God's plan allowed suffering in the life of Christ, which resulted in His blessing, and God's plan includes the same for our life. Let me put it on the board and try to show you what I'm talking about here. Here's Jesus Christ, and He had a cup. And this was full of sufferings. Okay? Sufferings. And the verse says, look at it again in verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance," meaning that they overflow to us. Let's read point number 5, get that corrected translation, then I'll go on with my hen scratch on this thing here. Corrected translation for this verse. "For just as the blessings from," now that's added in there for clarity. "For just as the blessings from the sufferings of Christ," because that's why Christ suffered. He said, "For the joy that was set before me," he endured the cross. The joy, the blessings, the phenomenal things that came about because of his sufferings brought joy beyond our imagination. And so, "For just as the blessings from the suffering of Christ overflow to us, so also our comfort," that is, blessings from undeserved suffering, "overflows to others through," and I've added this for clarity, "the mind of Christ," which is Bible doctrine, "in the soul," 1 Corinthians 2:16. So this isn't saying that you suffer in abundance the way that Christ suffered. It's saying because Christ suffered. Now look up here at the overlay. This is what he's saying. This is Christ's cup, and it overflowed and spilled out. Just spilled out all this. But what is spilled out is not the sufferings, but the blessings that came from undeserved sufferings, you see? And so we have a cup here. Here's our cup. And here we go. This is a suffering. This is the suffering, and what overflows is blessing. You understand? When any person, Christ included, undergoes undeserved suffering, it is for a purpose. And the purpose is for God to bless you. You understand the verse that I quoted a while ago? "For the joy that was set before him," before Christ. What was the joy? The phenomenal joy that Christ experienced after suffering on the cross, recognizing that he essentially saved the entire human race, or at least made that entire human race, made salvation available to them. And millions upon millions of people will be in heaven and enjoy the glories that are there because of Christ's suffering. Now, what kind of joy would that bring? Come on, you understand what I'm saying? And he shares the same thing with us, you see. When you have doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness and you are thinking Christ's thoughts, then rather than getting down and having a big pity party, you are thinking, all right, this is for my prosperity. This is for my joy. This is great blessing going to come from this. And when you recognize it, it helps you get through that suffering. And on the other side, every time you have great joy. Because you couldn't do it on your own. God brought you through that. He's taught you things. You have grown stronger. And he blesses you through it. And then you're blessing to others, as we'll see. So this is the suffering that fills the cup and it overflows. This is Christ. This is Jesus Christ's cup. Now the blessings, here are the blessings here. They flow down into our cup. This is us. They overflow to our cup. Now, if you have a divine viewpoint, you have a personal sense of destiny, you're able to put all this into perspective. I'm not saying that it's a piece of cake. Don't think that these sufferings don't hurt and that you don't. It's real suffering. But the mental stress, you know where most of the suffering occurs? Is in here, in the soul. I'll give you an illustration. I'm going to turn this off and then I'll get back to it because I want you to concentrate on this illustration. When I was in high school, they used to have a policy for football players. They would check your grades, and if you didn't have at least a C or better, you would get swats for Ds. I think you got 2 swats for a D, 3 swats for an F,
and a SWAT for every conduct cut that you got. And so whenever we got our report cards on that day, we would all go down to the coach's office and there would be a long line of players there. And we were standing there waiting for our turn to go into the office to show the coach what our report card was. And as you're standing there, the door's open, by the way, you would be sitting there, standing there talking to somebody, and in mid-sentence, pah, 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 and you just swallow hard. Especially if you're looking at a few D's or an F or two or three conduct cuts. And the mental anguish was horrible. Now, it wasn't pleasant getting the swats either. Stung like hell. Left a big red mark on you, too. They weren't fooling around. But some of the guys out there were putting on a strong face. Like, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's just five. Just five swats. Doesn't sound like much until you have to bend over. You'd have to bend over like this and catch your ankles like this. Guys that were smart would wear thick pants that day. Corduroy. Thick. They took your wallet out. You couldn't have, that's the first thing you walked in. If you had anything, wallet goes over there. Catch those ankles. And the coach is just delighted in it. Oh, they were having so much fun. But I know what it's like standing out there, because I had some conduct cuts. Not many, but I had a few. And standing out there and sweating bullets. And every time that you hear that board hit that flash and that whack, you just kind of cringe like this. You could feel it before it ever occurred, you see. Now, after it occurred, hey, you know, it stung. Couldn't sit down for a while. But hey, it's over. The mental stress is gone, you see. That's what I'm talking about over here when I'm saying that it is the stress. I'm not saying that the suffering won't hurt, you see. But that mental process that goes on, the pressure that builds up, the stress, because you've allowed adversity to penetrate into your soul. Your doctrinal defense was lacking because you haven't been taking in doctrine. And it really stings, but even if it does, if you have that doctrinal shield, you can be blessed in the midst of cursing. You put things into perspective, you see. So anyway, as these blessings come down into us, into our cup, they can even overflow. Again, our blessings can overflow to others, you see. Now, they have a cup down here. You see how this works? That's what that's talking about. That's what that verb there, parousio, means. It doesn't mean abundance. It means to overflow. Christ, let's look at the corrective translation again. For just as the blessings from the sufferings of Christ. You know that none of Christ's sufferings were due him. All his sufferings were undeserved. So he got great blessings for it, and that's what overflows to us. And also our comfort, the blessings from undeserved suffering that has spilled over from Christ, actually overflow to others. How? Through Christ, through the mind of Christ, which circulates in our stream of consciousness. The mind of Christ, if you looked at 1 Corinthians 2:16, is referring to the Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. You are thinking Christ's thoughts when you are thinking doctrine. And when you're thinking Christ's thoughts, then there's no stress, there is no fear, there is no anxiety, there is no anger, there is no retribution in your mind, no revenge, nothing. Just nothing but gratitude for the power that God gives you to get through it and to overcome it and to maintain your contentment and happiness. Point number 6. This concerns more than just being able to identify with someone's suffering and saying, I know how you feel. Now, there is a measure of comfort you can give someone, but it's very limited. And one reason that God allows us to suffer is so that we can comfort others. I believe that there are certain things that people suffer that are somewhat, I won't say unique, but they may be different. And if you try to comfort someone, they say, oh, well, you don't know what I'm talking about. You've never been through this, you see. What if you have a child that died? Doesn't happen to many people, but it does to some. A person that went through that suffering knows exactly what it feels like to experience the death of a child. Can comfort someone more than someone that has no experience in that area. Because at least the person who is suffering can identify with the person that's giving them comfort. If there is any comfort there, they are desperate to hear it. Someone that hasn't had that and come up and says, they can't say, well, I know how you feel, because they don't know how they feel. And you can say, well, it's okay. There are things that are worse. And they'll look at you, what are you talking about? You don't know. You've never lost a child. Don't try to comfort me. You don't even know what I'm going through. That's what you'll hear. But if you've gone through it, you can say, I know exactly what you're going through. I know the horror of it. I know the sleepless nights. When you cry so much, you don't even have any tears left. But where the blessings come in is when you can give them the solution. And you can explain to them how God got you through it. But in the context, the subject of this point number 6 is that being able to identify with someone suffering, saying, I know how you feel, is not really the point of this verse. The point of this verse is about blessings by association. Blessing. See, we are up here's Christ again. We are blessed in association with Him. Now, we're all blessed in one way because we are all in Christ. And in a positional sense, we are all blessed. All believers, whether they have any doctrine or not, doesn't matter what, are blessed by Christ by being in association with Him. But in an experiential sense is what we're talking about. And we are blessed in association with Christ. And when we suffer... And this is, by the way, talking about undeserved suffering. This is not talking about punitive suffering. None of this is talking about punitive suffering, divine discipline. That's not the issue. We're talking about undeserved suffering. He shares His blessings with us. Therefore, we are able to share our blessings or His blessings that we have acquired to others. And we then become a blessing association to the next person. And it doesn't matter, as we're going to see in this verse, it doesn't matter in some cases whether the person has any doctrine or not. Sometimes, just because God blesses you so much when you're going through adversity, those blessings spill out to others. You might be working at a company that is really mediocre, maybe about to go out of business. You join that company, and God might put that company back on the road to success. They might be a up and rising star as far as companies go. Why? Because He's blessing that company because He's blessing you so much. He wants you to have a certain kind of prosperity, and it's nothing for Him to bless a company, and everybody in that company is blessed by association because of God. And you might not be the CEO. You might be the janitor. God can bless an entire company in order to provide the blessings for this janitor that has the capacity to accept those blessings and not be distracted by them. So you get the point here. This verse is about blessings by association. Turn your page over. Oh, we don't have anything on it. We've got the next page here. Here you go. Point number 7, put a star by it right off the bat. We hadn't even read it yet, but put a star by it. We need to all remember this. Point number 7, blessings do not overflow to others if you whine, complain, sublimate, fall apart, throw a tantrum, and bother everyone else with your problems. If you want to be a blessing to other people, if you really want to help them, then you need to grow up spiritually and have a cup The more capacity you have, the bigger your cup is, the more blessings you get, and the more spillover, and the more people you're going to bless by association. So the more you grow up spiritually, the more others are going to be blessed by association. But that never is going to happen if you start, and this number one, whining is bad, but I think probably the second one is the worst. Put a star by it. Complaining. I think I just touched everybody with that one, didn't I? I try my best not to complain, and you probably do the same. But sometimes it's just like pressure building up. It just comes out, doesn't it? Well, why does this have to happen now? Why does it have to happen like this? Why do they have to call now? Why does it have to break now? On and on. Why just complain? Don't we all do that? I mean, am I a freak up here? I'm the only one that has a problem with complaining? Come on, y'all. Okay. We all have a problem with that one, don't we? Remember it. Remember, every time you complain, you are disqualifying yourself for blessings by association. So, they're not going to overflow if you whine and complain. You know what sublimate means? Well, things haven't been going my way, so I think I deserve a break. I'll just go to town and tie one on. Y'all know what tie one on means? Huh? Y'all are sitting there like, tie one on? I know some of them don't. They're too young. Go to town and party hardy. There you go. It means to just, sublimate. You're going to be happy one way or the other. And if it's contrary to God's laws or rules, that's okay. You just think you owe it to yourself. And that's, of course, a dead-end street. Falling apart, throwing a tantrum, and bothering everyone else. This is cursing by association. Do you curse people by association or do you bless them? If you are a chronic complainer, you can be guaranteed you are a cursing by association. And people have to put up with you. Everybody has their own problems. You understand that? Everybody has their own problems. And what they don't need is for you to come by and dump your load on them. Cursing by association. Point number 8. Believers without doctrine dump their troubles on others, but believers with doctrine and who apply it dump blessings on others. Which kind of believer are you? What do you dump? Are you looking for the next victim to tell your sad, sad story to? Huh? You all have known people like this. There's probably people... Now, I'm not trying to get you in chronology thinking about these people. Maybe I'm not wording this right. But I think we all know people who, when they call, you think in your own soul, oh, no. But why? You're going to hear their sad... Guess what happened now? And here they go. You can't even interrupt them. You try to get a word in, and oh no, they are... It's like putting on a tape that you can't stop. And they just go on and on and on and on and on. And they don't want the solution. You try to even get a word in. Oh, they don't want to hear that. They just want to dump. They're dumpers. It's okay if they're dumping blessings, but very few people dump blessings. They dump problems. And you know why they do that? They're not spiritually self-sustaining. They don't have a clue why they're here. They don't know why they're suffering. They don't know the solutions. They don't know anything. They just know, well, they hurt and they're miserable. And they want to share their misery with other people. And maybe that might make them feel a little better. Now, I'm telling you like it is tonight, and you know it. And what I'm telling you is, don't be one of those kind of people. If you have a personal sense of destiny, if you understand that God graciously allows undeserved suffering, and remember, we're talking about undeserved suffering. Punitive suffering doesn't even, if you're suffering because of sin, you know the solution to that. We're not talking about rebounding. We're talking about undeserved suffering here. And when you're undeserved suffering, what do we normally do? Listen, all of us have old sin nature that is revved up. You know what is the red line on attack in cars? Somebody, what is it, 8,000, something like that? Somebody, what, 9, 10, 9,000? Okay. We have the hot cars in the 60s. That's when they had the great cars in the 60s. I had a GTO. They called it a GOAT. But they didn't have any of this nonsense under here to keep the air clean that just bogs the power down. And some of them didn't even have seat belts. But they were called muscle cars. Power. I had a neighbor that had Corvettes. He changed Corvettes more than I changed shoes. I mean, when I get a new pair of shoes, he'd already had two or three Corvettes. And he would always stick shift, and he would take me for a ride every time in one of those cars. And he would start out, and he would just peel rubber for as long as this church. And he would get third gear and pop it into third gear, those tires would still peel out and burn rubber. That's how powerful those cars were. And you could look up the tack. See, they had that tack right there where you could see it. Now, GTO, some of those, they were really cool. Because they had a scoop up on the hood. And you didn't have it down here on the dash. You had it out there where all the girls could see it. See? That's, they knew how to sell cars. See, so they had this scoop and you'd look out on the hood and you'd see this tack. And whenever you're going through those gears, see, you'd look at that tack. Whenever you get close to that red line, you'd shift. So you go along and you shift like that. Well, I'll give you this whole thing to help you understand that we nearly redline our old sin nature every day. It's ready. It's revved up. All you have to do is just kind of glance at it and it'll take over. You see? We all have to battle these things. But if you understand the purpose, if you understand that God not only wants to bless you, He wants to bless you so much it's going to overflow to others. In today's society, people make me sick. Most of them. And one reason is because they have stinking thinking. And they think the summa bonum, the highest thing that they can give their kids, is a college education. And all the colleges are teaching is crap. And they don't teach anything of substance. When I'm talking about going away from college, college is fine. If you have you want to be a doctor or something like that, fine, college. What I'm talking about is they think the best thing they can give their kid is a college education. What's that? What they need to give their kids is Bible doctrine, the solution to their problems. No matter what the problem, then they have the solution. They should be growing up spiritually, so what they want to give their kids, how about blessings by association? Wouldn't that be a good thing? I don't know why I get on a toot like that sometimes, but it just doesn't it make you miserable sometimes to see the poor thinking that people have, completely alienated from God, keeping God out of it? Point number 9. Comfort is happiness, inner happiness, inner blessings, and inner peace. That's what we're talking. In our verse, comfort is mentioned 3 times. So this is what comfort is. It's inner happiness, inner blessing, and inner peace. You can have this in the middle of tremendous pressure because of what God has bequeathed to you through Christ. When you are under adversity, God is preparing you and positioning you to be a blessing to others. How is Christ a blessing to you here? Well, we all know we're blessed because God, the Son, took our sins upon Himself. But because He had this undeserved suffering in spades, it overflows to us. He was the pattern. He was the prototype. And God blessed Him beyond anything we could imagine because of His suffering for blessing. And that not only that policy, that pattern, His blessings overflow into us. That's how Christ is a blessing to us, at least one of the ways that He is. And because we have a cup here, here's our cup, and we receive these blessings, when we suffer, we can appreciate how Christ suffered, and with just like Christ, Christ was looking past the cross, past the suffering. And that's what God has bequeathed to us. When we get into suffering, just like Christ, we can look past that to the rewards, to the decorations, to being a stronger person, a better person, one that is invincible through grace and God's Word. We have all that to look forward to, and God just keeps pouring blessings into a believer like that. I mean, he's got immeasurable blessings, and he just pours and pours, and it runs out. And it runs out to everyone around us. People, could be that you have I don't get trash pickup out in my area. You know, I live out in the country, and you just get rid of the trash the best way you can. Some people do. But if you are a believer that has a cup that's overflowing these blessings, even your trash man that comes and picks up your trash, God can bless him in some fashion because of you. So this is one of the reasons for suffering. One reason we suffer is so that we can have that overflow of blessings from undeserved suffering from Christ, and then we can be a blessing to others. Now let's look at this verse 3 and 4 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, plural, and the God of all comfort. All comfort. Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort, the kind of comfort, Bible doctrine, you don't need to write that in your Bible, Bible doctrine, with the kind of comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God or of God. How do you comfort other people? Not by patting them on the hand, there, making clucking noises and think that's going to do it. You give them doctrine. If they don't want doctrine, say, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I've got the real solution. If you don't want that, go out and try whatever you want and tell me how it works for you. Four times comfort is mentioned in those two verses. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. No, that's not what it means. It means that Christ, look at the corrected translation, point number 5. For just as the blessings from the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, parousio, to overflow, so also our comfort, because we are comforted by blessings for our association with divine viewpoint, because of that, our suffering, our blessings from suffering overflow to others through the mind of Christ, which is Bible doctrine circulating in our stream of consciousness. We're going to end right there. And in verse 5, we're going to go on a bit of a dog trail that's very important for us to go on. We're going to clarify something that is vitally important for you to understand. And it has something to do with one of the words in these verses, and we'll pick that up Thursday night. Father, we thank you for the time you've given us to focus on your word. We thank you that you are able to bless us in marvelous ways. We pray that you will help us to put suffering in the right perspective, that we will recognize that it's not bad luck. In fact, it's good luck, if there's any luck at all. It means that you are trying to advance us so that we can have blessings by association poured into us so it will overflow to others. We pray that you will help us to remember these things. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.